What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show presented by DraftKings. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, masking and socially distancing when and where necessary. And we are into week five officially, which means a quarter of the season is done. Quarter of the NFL regular season is done. I know it's different for the fantasy regular season. I'm not trying to do that math right now, so just go with it. So in the meantime, we're going to have sort of a quarter poll analysis. Adam Rank will join us, as he always does, on a Wednesday. He'll also have his starts and sits. We'll have a couple of wiretaps for you as well, the guys you picked up off the waiver wire who maybe is it a good idea or not a good idea to start them. We'll dive into that and plenty more. But first, as we always do, we'll talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. And Murph, I don't have any football questions to ask. I just want to know how you felt about the Yankees pitching shenanigans against the Rays the other night.
Yeah, I mean, that was, Aaron Boone tried to keep it secret, pulled Garcia after, like, he had, like, Jay Happ warming up after, like, three pitches. It was a bad plan, but I will say, I hate to be that guy that blames the umpires, but the Yankees are the best team in the MLB that they don't chase balls. And then when you have an umpire who's calling, ball strikes, you're going to have guys swinging now. And that just changed, at least with three at-bats to come to mind, that changed the outcome of the game. But you know what? They left guys in scoring position. They struck out way too much. I mean, it was a bad loss, but I feel good with Tanaka with an extra day of rest. So still very positive.
Yeah, still very much in this series. It's going to be interesting to watch. I know this is a fantasy football show, but baseball's still going on, so it's exciting to talk about.
Yeah, because this, we like both.
This is, yeah, exactly. We can do both. So definitely watching that, keeping an eye on all these baseball series, but also keeping an eye on what's going on in the NFL. And to help me do that on a Wednesday, as he always does, it is the one and only Adam Rank. How are we feeling 4 weeks, almost, I guess, 5 weeks at this point into the season? How are we feeling about our fantasy teams?
Well, first of all, I feel great about that. I don't know, but by the way, I got to be fully honest. I'm an Angels fan, so obviously I'm not paying attention to baseball right now. But I love the audacity of the Yankee fan being like, we're so used to nobody ever calling a strike on us that they're making us swing the bat at anything that's not directly down the middle is now such an egregious thing. Like, that encapsulate Yankees fans right there. Like, what? Like, I don't think Derek Jeter ever had a strike called on him. And there are umpires that can't wait to call Mike Trout out on strikes to the point of, like, when everybody talks about why can't Mike Trout get to the playoffs, like, okay, never call a strike on him. Make Garrett Cole sign with the Angels. We'll do those things. But listen, I know that's not what you asked. I'm feeling good. But you know what's funny is we always talk about this. If everybody's ever heard me use this phrase and they kind of wonder what I mean by it, I use this term called the league of record, which is not the name of the league, but it's the league that I hold the most dear. And it's the league that I'm in with all my friends I grew up with in Corona, California. And it's been going on forever. And we have these intense rivalries. And there's, like, splinter groups. It's like Big Brother. Like, we've got these people over here. We got the guys who grew up on Applegate. Like, I'm in two alliances. So it feels great. I'm 4-0 in that league. I'm 3-1 in my league with my friends from Chicago. So I feel great. Like, I feel good. How about you, Marcus?
For the most part, I'm doing okay. I will say that the Fantasy Live League that we have for the show has not been great. I've had some injuries, so that hasn't helped. So I have sort of shifted some focus to other leagues. I got a league that I've had for a number of years with a bunch of guys that I went to high school with. I'm doing pretty well there. So that is starting to get a little bit more of my attention. So, it's not that I don't care about the other leagues, but, sometimes when things aren't going well, some other things get put to the back burner.
It's like, I know that you have just the one child, but I can speak to this with somebody who has multiple children. Like, you have a favorite child and you focus more attention on that one. And that's the way your fantasy leagues are kind of like. I mean, it's like, right. No disrespect to my other leagues. Like, if I lose in Scott Fishbowl, I'm not losing sleep. But if I lose to this guy named Brent, who's the worst, like he's the only guy in our group who's not from Corona. So I don't know how he got into this league, but there's a faction of us that don't, there's a whole issue, but like I'm upset. Like, this is dominating my whole week. So it's fine if you have one focus on one league and that's what happens, but you want the other ones to do well as well.
I feel like I'm that guy because I'm in a league where I'm the only person that is sort of the outsider in the group. So they probably feel that way about me. And so I actually am taking it upon myself to try and dominate that league as much as possible just to irritate people.
Okay. I gotta stop you because I know like you're a nice person. Like you're a good guy. Nobody is going to hate you. The person I'm describing, those are adjectives we would not use to describe that person. So okay. It's a completely different thing, but I'll tell you off the air and you could probably draw whatever, but I'm in for a fight.
I think I understand where this is going. So it's good. I'm happy that I'm not that person. All right, let's shift gears. Let's talk some fantasy news because there has been quite a bit, especially in the last few hours before we started recording this show, and a lot of it having to do with quarterbacks. We'll start in Washington with the football team. Ron Rivera has made the decision to bench Dwayne Haskins. In fact, Haskins is not even the number two quarterback. He's the number three quarterback. Kyle Allen will be your starter this week, and Alex Smith will be the number two quarterback behind Allen in case something happens there. So now the question becomes, after we saw Kyle Allen last year really struggle with the Carolina Panthers, Rank, how worried should we be about Terry McLaurin in this offense?
Well, DJ Moore did pretty well, I believe. I would have to go back and make sure that I'm not speaking out of my rear end on this one. But it is a little weird to go to make this change to Kyle Allen. Like he's the Allen covert to Ron Rivera. And if you're not familiar with that name, that's the guy that is always in all the Adam Sandler movies. You're like, oh, that guy. That's not what Ron Rivera is doing now, just pulling this guy along. Kyle Allen was fine. I guess there's a touchdown to DJ Moore right there. I know. Listen, this is breaking news as this is happening. So I apologize. I'll be prepared for I don't mean to be ill prepared for your show, Marcus. I know it's disrespectful. I was filming a PSA this morning. That's why I'm not wearing glasses. So there's a lot of things going on. So I'm really going to dive in. But to me, the thing that I find unfair to Dwayne Haskins, though, is you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, Washington FT. I'm sorry to be the one who has to break that news to you. Why not give Dwayne as much opportunity as possible to really grow this season? Like Ron Rivera, you're not in danger of losing your job. It's year one. Why don't you spend some more time figuring out how to make Dwayne Haskins better? Is the offensive line performing well? Antonio Gibson's been good, but it's like you still have a deficit of a lot of offensive pieces. Like give him an opportunity. I'm bummed out for him more than anything.
I am too. I really thought that, look, I don't think everything there is completely his fault. And maybe he is not the quarterback of the future for Washington, but it does seem kind of early to pull the plug on him. I also just feel like I would like the consistency. We know with Dwayne Haskins, because this is all about us and our fantasy team, just being selfish here. For us, the consistency of having Dwayne Haskins there, we know what Terry McLaurin can be with that. And yes, DJ Moore was fine last year with Kyle Allen. We were hoping that maybe things would get better this year with Teddy Bridgewater. They kind of have it, but I don't know. I think I'd just rather stick with it. The other part of it is, just from a football perspective, because the NFC East is so bad, Washington's still in this thing. And I don't know, maybe that's part of the decision process here is that they're still in this thing. So let's go to a quarterback we feel more confident in. But I don't know that Kyle Allen is that guy. So I think I would have rather stuck with Dwayne Haskins. But I'm also just paid to talk about fake football, and Ron Rivera gets paid to make actual football decisions. So this is where we are. So it'll be interesting. I still think if you've got McLaurin, you're probably starting him this week. But yeah. I am a little bit worried. I'll be keeping an eye on it this week.
Yeah, and I know that it's fun to say, like, they're still in the middle of it, but it's like when you're watching The Bachelorette and JoJo's choosing between, you know, Aaron Rodgers' brother and Robbie, and there's some random third dude where you're like, bro, you have to know you have no shot. Like, she likes these two dudes. She doesn't like you, and that's what the Washington FT feels like. It's like, I get it. Like you're statistically you're in this, of course. No, the Cowboys or the Eagles are going to end up winning that division. So, and you can come back and listen, FT fans, if I'm mistaken, you can come back and harangue me later. Like it wouldn't be the first time. So, but I be realistic. I did not watch. I went back and I watched that game again, and it's not, listen, Dwayne Haskins is not Patrick Mahomes, but I didn't come away from watching that game being like, Dwayne Haskins, the problem. There's a lot of problems there.
I think fans of the FT know that they are not Super Bowl bound this year. Speaking of teams that aren't Super Bowl bound, the Jets. They have a new quarterback, at least for this week. Again, this story literally breaking just before we started recording this show. Joe Flacco is going to get the start as Sam Darnold is still dealing with a shoulder injury that he suffered last week against the Broncos. We saw Flacco for, I think, a brief moment in that Thursday night game. With him out on the field, I mean, I know he is a veteran, and once upon a time, the joke was that he was elite. I mean, should we worry about Jamison Crowder? Because I feel like he's the only Jets pass catcher worth starting. Is there any reason to believe that he can continue to be productive now?
Well, they're going to throw the football, and that's the one thing. That's the one positive that we have. And it's always a tricky thing about, you know, when we're doing starts and sits, things like that. It's like you conceivably would be like, I don't want to play Jamison Crowder. This is not a good team. But you're like, well, the Jets are going to be behind in seemingly every game. He's their best receiver. He's going to be targeted an awful lot, and I expect that Joe Flacco is going to look his way. I know there will be some people will be like, hey, what about Chris Herndon? Because the tight end whisperer. I'm like, I think that was put to bed last season when we tried to do that with Noah Fant, who is actually playing better this year. And I don't know if you can hear my daughter in the background, so I apologize. She's a big Sam Darnold mark, because Sam Darnold has been very nice to me over the years. So she's very upset about the Sam Darnold news. We're trying to calm her down. But hopefully that he'll feel better, and we can see him back on the field soon with hopefully a new head coach. Oh, I'm sorry, did that slip out?
I think I want Sam Darnold back for my own selfish USC loving purposes. I actually just want him to be away from Adam Gase for my own selfish USC loving purposes as well. I was sort of dubious about starting Jamison Crowder. I think I'd probably avoid it this week. I mean, there's no way you're starting Joe Flacco. I can't imagine any scenario where you're starting Joe Flacco at all. But I think at this point, you just sort of stay away from the Jets. You hope that when Darnold gets healthy and gets back, things get better. But this is probably one. I think I'm avoiding it pretty much in all circumstances. In the same division, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is still the starter, it appears, at least for this week against the San Francisco 49ers. I talked about the consistency of having Dwayne Haskins at quarterback for Washington. As much as I think it would be fun to see Tua, I do think the consistency of having Fitzmagic back there is maybe something we can feel okay about. Am I wrong?
No. And this was definitely the right decision. You don't want to take a rookie. As talented as Tua is, and even going up against a depleted 49ers defense, you don't want to have him make his first start on the road in Santa Clara. And I know that the Dolphins are going to be on the road next week as well. And I think their first home game, I do know this for a fact, their first home game is October 25th against the LA Chargers. That's right. They're on the road at Denver next week. So I think these two games are perfect for Fitzmagic. And for the consistency of our fantasy teams, this will work out better. And if Brian Flores does want to make a move to Tua Tagovailoa at some point, I believe it's going to be that October 25th game against the Chargers. Again, it's not an easy matchup, but at least when you're home, it's going to be a little bit easier than asking him to go do it on the road.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So I feel like you can still have Devontae Parker in there with confidence. I would say Preston Williams, but I'm starting to give up on the Preston Williams dream because he's been out-targeted by Isaiah Ford the last couple of weeks. So maybe not Preston Williams so much, but Devontae Parker, I think you can still start with a level of confidence as long as Fitzpatrick is in there. Excited to see Tua, but I just, you know, at this point, it's sort of the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. And in that respect, this is still kind of good for us.
Yeah, and Parker was good last week too, by the way. I know that, you know, Fitzmagic was 20 points and wasn't as great as a lot of people anticipated him to be, but no, I'll make this quick, but Devontae Parker was still fine.
Yeah, I think he's still going to be fine. Receivers Julio Jones aggravated his hamstring injury in that Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers. Didn't come out after halftime. I'm starting to get sort of worried about him now. It's been a couple of weeks that he's been dealing with this. I'm afraid that this is going to become a nagging injury. And if that's the case, then who knows what we get out of Julio. What approach should we be taking? How worried should we be?
No, I'm definitely concerned about this one. And I mean, my own selfishly, I have a team that where I drafted Devontae Adams and Julio with my first two picks, that team's not doing well. And I look at the situation in Atlanta, and I'm never suggesting that, you know, somebody's not going to play, but when your team's 0-4 or whatever the Falcons are, I believe it's 0-4, like, are you rushing to get back out on the field if your hamstring is not 100% and you're thinking about your future career? And then you even think too, like, we're fantasy people, so our minds are automatically disposed or deposed or whatever. I'm probably saying that wrong because I'm an idiot. I don't get any sleep anymore. So we already think of trades. You know, if this was fantasy football, we'd be like, hey, let's trade Julio to the Eagles. Well, you wouldn't want to do it in the NFC, like the Patriots or something like that. You would love to see him go out and get an opportunity to win somewhere. But yeah, I'm worried though. I mean, for the week to week, it's like, I can't start this player. And now I'm going to have to start Scotty Miller on Thursday. And I'm not feeling great about it.
Not feeling great about it. I would say, and I've been a big proponent of when Julio's healthy, you play him, you start him. But now because of this nagging thing, I wouldn't be opposed to, if you have him, maybe just kind of, you know, making some trade offers, seeing what you can get back in return just for the sake of not having this week-to-week headache. I think that's sort of the big thing. And, you know, who knows what happens. Yeah, if he's healthy, he's great, but I don't know.
No. And I agree. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, not enough to keep me from cutting you off, obviously. But it's one of those things that if you have Julio, and this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing with him, just to give you a little bit of an insight, is the league that I have him in is wide receiver heavy. We only have one running back spot and we have multiple wide receiver spots. But the thing is you have to look at somebody who's got a team with great depth who would be willing to take a chance on Julio. I need a starter, so I've got to get rid of Julio. It's not working out for me. But if you've got a team where you have two stud receivers, and let's say you have DK Metcalf and Calvin Ridley's a bad example, but like DK Metcalf and Adam Thielen, for instance, and you can afford to not give up one of those two guys, but to swing a deal to keep Julio on your bench for a couple weeks to perhaps save him for the stretch run, then you should actually be looking to make a deal for Julio. But if you have him and you're you know, out of luck, if he's not starting, then yeah, you got to move him. So two ways to look at it right there.
Right as we're having this discussion, I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and as though Mike Garofolo were plugged into what we were talking about, he just tweeted that no Julio Jones at practice today for the Falcons. So, you know, put that in your back pocket and hopefully that helps you with your decision-making when you're trying to figure out what to do there. Last bit of news. Sean McVay says he expects Cam Akers to be returning to the Rams backfield in week 5. It feels like we talk about this backfield every week because it has sort of been a merry-go-round. So now that there are potentially three guys back there with Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown, what are we doing about Rams running backs?
You know, it's really a riddle. And it goes back to the preseason when Sean McVay was talking with such adoration for the San Francisco 49ers running back situation. Oh my God, look at me. Didn't even plan that. How great am I? but last week, everybody was just expecting Daryl Henderson to go out and have this huge game. It was a good matchup. He had done nothing that would lead you to believe that he was going to lose snaps to a healthy Malcolm Brown. And yet that's exactly what happened. And now it's going to become incredibly frustrating. Because there aren't a lot of teams who run the ball more than the LA Rams, but you still can't trust any of these guys because now that Cam Akers is going to be back, I don't really know which way to go. And I still think that Malcolm Brown still ends up being the goal line back. I don't know. It's one of those situations where we're going to have to just wait for it to play out. And I don't know that it's ever going to come to a point where we're going to get definite clarity on this at all.
Completely agree. I think it's just going to be a mess all year long. Unless you really have to, I would almost advise sitting any of your Rams this week, your Rams running back, certainly against the Washington FT, because they are very good against the run. Now you've got three guys potentially to take those opportunities. It's so hard to forecast. I'm generally worried about the Rams offense this week for fantasy. So if you can somehow avoid it, which I get might not always be possible, especially if you've got a Cooper Kupp or a Robert Woods, if you can avoid it, I would suggest doing that. But otherwise, I just think you just sort of have to temper your expectations because it just may be a rough week for any Rams you have in your fantasy lineup. Okay, today's show is sponsored by DraftKings, a leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week, so download the DraftKings app now. Use code TEAM during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We've hit the quarter points of the NFL regular season. We're going to do some quarter poll analysis here. And before any of you horse racing buffs come at me with the quarter poll is when you have a quarter of the race left, not a quarter. Like, I don't care. This is what we're doing. We do it every year, and you hit us with this every year, and we keep doing it every year. Stop doing this dance. This is quarter pole
analysis.
Who's
in the horse racing still?
I mean, you know, they still run that one in Louisville every year. So people sort of care about that one. I shouldn't knock on that. I will say that I went to the Kentucky Derby one year. It really was a fun thing to do. I would say if you want to put things on your sports bucket list, going to the Kentucky Derby is a lot of fun. So I'll give it that. But beyond that, whatever. So now that we're through 4 weeks of the NFL season, if you had to pick somebody to be your fantasy MVP, who would it be?
Well, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, number one, because he never gets votes in the real MVP voting. And so I feel like that's pretty bad. And I know there's another quarterback you could go with. But I think a lot of these always come down to a personal connection with the player. And we talked about at the top of the show, those leagues that are the most important to us because there are real good friends that have gone back for years and years and everything like that. Russell Wilson is my quarterback in those leagues, and the point totals are skewed towards the quarterback. And so I've suffered with an injury in one of those leagues too, Christian McCaffrey, but I'm still 3-1 because Russell Wilson has been so good. Last week, not so much. And I lost for the first time, but he's personally carried my team in my second city league. So it's a selfish vote for me, but it's still my vote and I'm giving it to Russell Wilson.
So that makes me feel two ways about my pick. On the one hand, I'm not voting for Russell Wilson, which sort of makes me sad because he doesn't get MVP votes. But on the other hand, I'm picking Josh Allen because it's sort of selfish for me, too. I took Josh Allen in the Scott Fish Bowl, and I took him, look, what some people thought was sort of early. Mind you, it is a two-quarterback league, and quarterbacks were flying off the board pretty quickly. So I made Josh Allen the eighth quarterback taken, and so far he's been fantastic. He has improved drastically in his ability to throw the football. We know he can still run effectively, and he still is, in essence, the goal line back for the Bills offense, especially when Zach Moss hasn't been available for them. So he's scoring touchdowns in any number of ways. And I think because he runs the football effectively, that when it gets cold and the weather gets nasty in Buffalo, he's still going to have some fantasy value because we know he can get those rushing touchdowns. So I had my questions about his ability to throw the football deep, but I still went with him anyway because I thought the rushing value would keep him afloat. He's been fantastic. And so, look, any apologies to Bills Mafia if you felt like I slighted you or your quarterback, I apologize. And he's been great. So I'm going to keep rolling with this Josh Allen train as long as I can. So speaking of which, who has been the biggest pleasant surprise for you when it comes to fantasy this year?
Well, first of all, I do want to say that Josh Allen is the objective choice. But biggest surprise, pleasant surprise for me, is one that I completely missed on, was Aaron Jones and his ability to get into the end zone. And this was one that we thought about coming into the season. I was skeptical that he was going to get 19 touchdowns again. When we see players like that hit that total, and a couple of years ago, LaDainian Tomlinson was doing that. And you're like, this makes sense. Like, I'm watching LaDainian Tomlinson. He's the only back for the Chargers, and he's, you know, way better than Aaron Jones. I'm sorry. Sorry to put that out there. I didn't think that Jones could hit that total again, but it looks like he's obviously well on his way, which is a shock for a running back that already last year was splitting carries with Jamal Williams. And on Monday night, we saw them infuriatingly give a goal line carry to Jamal Williams for no reason other than to like help out my fan. Like, I was going against Aaron Jones, so I was very appreciative, but it made no sense from a football standpoint. And even by drafting A.J. Dillon, I thought like the writing was on the wall. A player in the last year of his contract, like I'm listening to the Packers GM who's saying that they needed another running back, so I was going to go another way. So I have no shares of Aaron Jones, but he's went out there and put it in my face for sure.
I'd agree with that because I thought Jones was being overdrafted. I was definitely on the, you know, touchdown regression is coming bandwagon. I think I drafted A.J. Dillon in a few spots because I thought he'd get the goal line work. I've given up on that dream pretty much because Aaron Jones has made us look foolish with what he's done for the first month. But I would say my biggest pleasant surprise has been James Robinson. I will tell you, I didn't know much about this guy coming into the season. I was sort of hesitant to get any parts of the Jaguars backfield, And that included Leonard Fournette. Like, I didn't want any parts of Leonard Fournette because I felt like the Jags didn't like him, and I just didn't know what his role was going to be, but I certainly didn't take any shots anywhere else. And Robinson has stepped in and been fantastic through the first month of the season, and he really has been sort of the only Jaguars running back getting any work back there. And who knows what's going to happen later in the season if this continues, but at least through the first month, what we have seen from him looks fairly sustainable. So if you were able to get him on the waiver wire early, or even if you had the foresight, if you were one of the hipsters like Adam Rank, who went out and drafted him late in drafts, hat tip to you, because this guy has been fantastic this year, and I'm very curious to sort of watch him. He's part of the reason the Jaguars are fun to watch. I mean, they've got some good young players. They're sort of building something interesting. Jay Gruden's doing a good job calling plays down there. So I definitely like what I see out of James Robinson. So if you'd like to take a victory lap right here, Rank, I will allow you to do that with him.
No, I mean, honestly, when you I'm sure I've used this analogy before, but it's like when you nail one of those, it's like when you're playing golf and you land it 3 feet from the pin, you just kind of tip your cap and you're humble because you know you're going to put one in the woods here in momentarily. So I'm not even, and you know, I guess we could just move on to I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, but no, this is the thing. Like, I missed on Aaron Jones. Here's what I was trying to say. I missed on Aaron Jones, and I'll completely wear that. And it's like, but, you know, I drafted James Robinson. So I'm like, I feel like I'm breaking even there. And by the way, kids on Instagram who are like, oh, you're so terrible. I'm like, I understand that I miss picks, and I will call it out when I do. But, like, can you not just at least, like Marcus did, was it so tough to be like, oh, James Robinson, you did all right. Listen, I'm level right now. I'm not taking a victory lap. I'm taking a victory, like, sitting in my seat thing, whatever. But yeah, he's been fun. That's it. I have no other thing to add.
All right. Well, so now
oh, wait, we can I add the... one other thing? Wait, hold
sure,
on.
Please,
I do have something to add.
Please.
No. This is the question that we get a lot. And I did want to address this because a lot of people will come out and they'll say, hey, so is James Robinson a sell high type of player? Which in some sense, like, yeah, sure. Why not? But when we find players like this, let's hold on to them. Like, it's not easy to find running backs all the time. So if you've picked up James Robinson and you're winning your games with him, you ride that train till it's like when you have a car that's paid for. You're like, listen, I'm not putting any more, you know, I'm not getting an oil change anymore or anything like that, but I'm going to continue to ride this out as long as it'll take me to where I want to go. So don't trade him.
Somebody asked me, actually, our pal Jake Seeley, I was talking with him recently, and he was asking, like, who would I trade James Robinson for? And I was like, that'd be a pretty tough deal to give up. You know, I mean, you'd have to be talking to me about, like, legitimately a top, maybe top 10 for real running back for me to consider parting ways with James Robinson, because, and he's been good, and it's hard to find running backs. So, yeah, I'd stay with this thing as long as you possibly could. So, speaking of the surprises, I guess we have to flip it to the biggest disappointments. I think there's one that's sort of unanimous. That's probably who I'm going to talk about. But for you, maybe in the less obvious, who's your biggest disappointment?
Yeah, I'll let you take the obvious one. I want to speak a moment on DJ Moore and how really frustrating this one has been, because he was really good last year, had his breakout. He was a player that I had a lot of faith in coming into the season, and I was rewarded for it. And again, we talk about establishing these emotional connections with players. When you take a chance on somebody like DJ Moore in 2019, you better believe you're coming back and doubling down on him in 2020, especially when they upgrade at the quarterback position, going from Kyle Allen to Teddy Bridgewater. We thought that this was an automatic slam dunk. Like, I couldn't believe that he wasn't going higher in drafts, and always felt fortunate when I was able to land DJ Moore, and it hasn't worked out. And Marcus, I believe that you're the one who pointed this out on Fantasy Live on Monday or Tuesday, that Robbie Anderson has been the guy that we expected DJ Moore to be. And DJ Moore has just been a guy. Like, he's just a receiver that you can't trust. And even this week, going up against the Atlanta Falcons, I made the mistake last week of starting DJ Moore over DJ Chark, and I'm in the same spot again. Like, I still am having trouble with this decision. And it feels like I've got to, like, I almost need to get him off my roster so I'm no longer tempted to play him, because I feel like it's going to be frustrating for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson has become DJ Moore. DJ Moore has become Curtis Samuel. I don't know what that means for Curtis Samuel. that probably just puts him completely off our fantasy radar at this point. All right, so I'm going to take the obvious one and say Kenyon Drake. And I feel like I have to kind of talk about this one because I don't know that there was a bigger Kenyon Drake supporter than me this offseason. I mean, I pounded the table for him at every opportunity. And what we saw from him this past week against the Carolina Panthers, that might be hard pan. I mean, I don't know that it can get any worse. We're talking about him facing one of the worst run defenses in the league, and he managed 35 yards, just 3.5 points. That was it. And I mean, look, he has been frustrating to start the season, no doubt. I am starting to have bigger questions, though, about the Cardinals offense as a whole, because when I watched this game, I just basically found that there are two things that work. They throw it to Nuke Hopkins, and Kyler Murray runs with the ball. Those are the only two things that really work in this offense. And this is supposed to be a high-powered air raid attack led by Cliff Kingsbury. They have this deep cast of wide receivers, and it just doesn't seem like they're doing much. I think Rich Rebar tweeted, he basically called it the horizontal raid, because that's sort of what their passing game is for the most part. So Kenyon Drake definitely has not performed well, but I'm starting to kind of question this Cardinals offense as a whole. But either way, this is not what you signed up for when you likely spent a second round pick on Kenyon Drake. It's frustrating. I don't know what to do with him, Rank. Because you can't trade him at this point because last week was so bad. So you're sort of just stuck. I don't want to just put him back out on the waiver wire because I spent the high draft pick on him. I don't know what to do now.
You know what? I'm starting him because the Bengals RB1 had that 3-touchdown game last week. And I'm like, I don't want to miss out on the Kenyon. Like once Kenyon Drake has that game, then I might just cut him and be like, we're done. But it watching the Cardinals reminds me so much of watching the Angels, where the Angels were Rendon and Mike Trout and sometimes Shohei. But it's two guys. Like, it's like if these two guys don't do anything, then like the game's done. And it just feels that way with the Cardinals. Like, it should be so much better. And it's like, I know that Cliff Kingsbury looked cool on draft night, sitting there in that chateau in Scottsdale, and Bill Belichick is sitting in some rando, you know, kitchen that looks like your grandparents' kitchen or whatever. And you're like, you know what? There's something to be said about that, because the dude with 6 rings – living modest means, and then here comes Kingsbury that we all bought into. We bought into this image, you know, and it's just not working out, and it's been unfortunate.
Not happening at all. Maybe it gets better, but right now it's not what we thought it was going to be. So who was your worst miss in this preseason? Maybe a guy who's been really bad or a guy who's been good and you didn't expect it, but what's the guy that you wish you sort of could get a do-over on?
Oh, I didn't know I could go good and did well with, because I wanted to bring up Miles Sanders because I don't know if this qualifies, because he's battled some injuries. The Eagles themselves have battled some injuries. And I think the biggest miss for me on this is that the Eagles had an injury on the offensive line, and I didn't factor that in doing my draft evaluation. And I don't know, you know, you're drafting him in the second round, so I don't know what else I would have done. Perhaps it's tough because I'm thinking of some of the players that I passed over for him. I could have had an opportunity to take, let's say, Devontae Adams, who's been good when healthy, George Kittle, who's been good when healthy. And it's like all these guys are sort of in the same boat. I feel like my second round pick was destined to not be good. Like even Josh Jacobs was another player who was in that mix too. And like, this is who we're deciding about. And Josh Jacobs hasn't been incredible either. So I feel like the second round, Julio went in the second round. Like, the second round was awful for a lot of people. Maybe Travis Kelce was one of the ones who was probably your best bet coming out of there. So I think what I should have just said was the biggest miss was the second round, because I'm trying to think of second round players who've been coming through for us. Like, really, like, think about it. Like, I want to go back and look at the ADP and think about it, but it's like the second round was terrible. And you think of all these teams, you know, and I think of a team where I had Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs, where you're like, I'm never going to lose a game. You know, half point PPR, you're like, especially half point PPR, you're like, I'm never losing. Like, how do I not win? And there are other teams where you're like, I have Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders. I'm like, I can't believe you guys let me do this. Well, now I know why you did. So I guess the only guy that you wouldn't have missed on in the second round was the guy we were the most concerned about, and that was Aaron Jones. So, All right. And then, you know, maybe if I didn't hate the Packers so much, No. Listen, the science was sound on that one. Regression, yes. Being in a committee, look there. It looks bad, but yeah.
Always wait on a second round pick. I've preached that for years. That's what you should do. So the guy I'm looking at is Hayden Hurst, and sort of like Kenyon Drake, I was pounding the table for Hayden Hurst over and over again. It just made sense, right? Austin Hooper looked great in the Falcons offense. They're pass happy that Hurst was going to slide in there and still get that sort of target share, but that hasn't been the case. He's been almost invisible in this Atlanta passing game. The Falcons passing game has maybe not been as dynamic as we want it to be. They're throwing the ball a lot because their defense is bad and they have to stay in games. But really, there hasn't been much to show for it aside from, you know, Calvin Ridley, who then also put up a goose egg this past week. We talked about Julio Jones being hurt. So now we're talking about, you know, Olamide Zaccheaus and whether or not we should be starting him this week. But Hayden Hurst hasn't done much. In fact, it was Hayden Hurst, the reason that the last week that Adam Rank, you and I came up with the 7.1, because that's what he did. He had the 7.1 game, one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown. I really thought there were going to be bigger, better things, but he's been pretty miserable this year, and that's sort of the reason I started pivoting away. It's the reason that I started sort of eyeing Robert Tonyan on the waiver wires. I'm like, ooh, this looks a lot better than the 7.1 that I'm getting from Hayden Hurst. I'm frustrated, and I think I may rage drop him a lot of places just because it's not at all what I wanted it to be.
You should. No. You should. I was trying to talk. Like, listen, that was one. I'm so glad I was never on Hayden Hurst. I was on not Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin. Injury, though, you can't really take a loss for that one. But the thing about Tonyan is that obviously he had the huge game on Monday night, and everybody will think, oh, you're chasing the points or doing anything like that. A lot of people have that perception. And a lot of people are not picking him up off the waiver wire because the Packers have a bye this week. I have a team. I picked up Tonyan in my second city league, and I have Travis Kelce. But I was worried that perhaps the Chiefs were not going to play. So I picked him up, and now I'm holding on. Like, I have Kelce, and I'm still holding on to Tonyan through the bye week. And he might end up being my flex guy at some point because I've got some injuries with that team. So I think that's a pretty good pickup. And go through your waiver wire right now and see if a lot of people just passed on him because he's on a bye or they think you're chasing the points because he's going to be involved in this offense.
Yeah, I get the feeling that he will be as well. I worry a little bit about what happens when Davante Adams comes back, but the fact that Alan Lazard is gone for a while and Marquez Valdes-Scantling is just so inconsistent, I think that certainly helps for Robert Tonyan to continue to be productive. Okay, last one. Which player is the guy to watch going forward? Is there one guy that everybody should just keep their eye on moving forward the rest of the season?
I really believe it's DK Metcalf. And I honestly feel that he is going to be one of these players that starts getting first round buzz going into next season, because what he's doing is incredible. And you think about all the deep throws, and this is coming to us from our friends at Pro Football Focus, on passes where he's targeted 20 yards or more, he's first in receptions with 6. He has 257 receiving yards on passes of longer than 20 yards, and he has 3 touchdowns. And, of course, credit again to Pro Football Focus for that. He's become an elite-level player, and it's going to be one of those things that we look back on in years from now where we're like, how did this guy not go in the first round of the real NFL draft? Remember when we thought that he could only run in a straight line? And he'll have some bad games. I mean, it's inevitable. But, I mean, we saw Tyler Lockett basically get shut out last week. But DK always seems to be in the mix. So I think that he's going to be in that conversation as best receiver in the league, best fantasy receiver in the league, and it's going to happen very soon.
I do remember that talk about how his 3-cone drill was so bad and that maybe he should take some yoga or Pilates classes because that was going to be the only thing to help him become a better receiver. And, you know, all that talk has completely gone away with what we've seen after his first year and a half in the league. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson in Houston, and a lot of it has to do with the coaching change. Bill O'Brien is out now as the head coach and the general manager. There are some changes coming with this franchise in the next year or so. I mean, a lot of it is still a ways away from being completely settled. But I think in the short term, I think the one thing they're going to do is what they did in Seattle. They're going to let Deshaun cook, and they're just going to, you know, get this guy is their franchise. I mean, he's the one they have built this team around. Now, there's still offensive line issues, and he's still going to be scrambling a lot back there. But I do think at some point it's just wise to put the ball in his hands, let him distribute it to the playmakers out there. You've got these wide receivers and Fuller and Cooks and Stills and, you know, and all these guys. Just let Deshaun Watson go out there and be athletic. It certainly worked during his time at Clemson. It can work in the NFL. So I do think that this is going to open some things up. This is going to turn some pages for Deshaun Watson. And so anybody who has him on their fantasy roster, who's been frustrated by what they've seen for the first 4 weeks, I think some better things are coming because, you know, let's not get too tricky about this, right? I mean, like, sometimes it's as simple as just letting your good players do things. And Deshaun Watson's a good player. It's just time to let him just go and try to make magic.
Yeah, Romeo Crennel's like, what, in his 70s? I'm assuming Tim Kelly's going to go. Tim Kelly is probably still there. I don't think that he left. He was calling the plays before Bill O'Brien took it over in week 4. I would just love to see him go 4-5 wide, do whatever. I think O'Brien was kind of really committed to making David Johnson a thing, and I think that's unfortunate. I have him on one team where I was auto-picked him because my friends in the Second City League did not – they have my phone number. They let me auto – they didn't – nobody texted me. Nobody paused the draft. It's like, hey, Rank, can you play? Or what's going on? You're missing the draft. I would not have ended up with David Johnson. But, yeah, I think you just got to let it go. And I think that the Texans should be in YOLO mode and just do that and be like, yeah, whatever. Like, maybe not even call the place. It's like, Deshaun, just go do your thing. Like, whatever. Just go out there. We don't care. Just go out there and run around and do what you got to do.
Bill O'Brien, I think, was trying to prove a point that the trade he made wasn't bad. And in the end, it ended up costing him his job. But maybe it's going to be better for everybody involved in Houston. I have Deshaun Watson in a couple of spots, so I'm hoping that things get better and turn around with a change in coaching there. So we'll see. You know, inspired by ongoing conversations with players, the NFL, NFL Players Association, and Players Coalition together launched NFL Votes to empower and improve our communities through exercising the right to vote. Join the NFL family by registering to vote today and make your voice heard this November. Visit NFL.com/votes to learn more. Now it's time for Home Field Advantage, presented by Pearl's Place in Chicago. We're helping promote local Black-owned businesses around the nation. So let's dive into the Bucks and Bears on Thursday night. And if you're in Chicago, be sure to check out Pearl's Place for some down-home Southern cooking. All right, so it should be interesting. I know that it's sort of being promoted as the rematch of Tom Brady versus Nick Foles, because the last time they played, it was in the Super Bowl. And we learned that Nick Foles has better hands than Tom Brady. That was a big takeaway, I think, from that game. But last week, Brady went out, had 5 touchdown passes against the Los Angeles Chargers. So seeing him look like the Tom Brady of old, does this mean we are restoring him to weekly fantasy starter status?
I really believe that's the case. And this is a tough matchup this week. The Bears have actually been really good against opposing quarterbacks. And I think part of the reason is Jalen Johnson, their second round pick out of Utah, has been fantastic. And they've got a great cornerback tandem. So I don't believe that Brady's going to go out and throw 5 touchdown passes, but I do believe that he's a threat to put up some decent fantasy points. I think he'll be right in the mid-card range there. So I would trust him, you know, week in and week out. I think that it's time to get him, you know, time to, like, not goof around with, am I going to play him this week? Maybe I'll go with Minshew. Maybe I'll do this guy. Maybe I'll put in Herbert or whatever. I think that Brady has now kind of proven that he can get it done, especially if the circumstances are correct. And this isn't December in Chicago. So I think he should be okay weather-wise as well.
I'm probably going to end up eating crow for this, but I'm still sort of holding on to this, you know, playing the matchups with Tom Brady. And I don't necessarily love this one against the Bears on Thursday night. Look, I very well could come back on this show next week and tell you that I was wrong and that I made a huge mistake and you know, apologize for what I said. But I'm still sort of I had Tom Brady as kind of the QB12 at the start of the year, which means he's sort of a fringe weekly starter for you. So I'm still sort of holding on to that. But I'm also willing to admit that I could be totally, completely wrong with this one. But I'm going to stick to it for this week, and we'll see what happens on Thursday night. And then I'll come back and react appropriately if that's what it calls for. But because there are injuries in the backfield there, I mean, Leonard Fournette got hurt. We know LeSean McCoy is sort of out. We saw Keyshawn Vaughn get on the field. But through all of this, how much faith do we have in Ronald Jones against this defense?
This would be a pretty good start for him. If there's one deficiency in the Bears defense, which has been pretty good this year, I mean, they allowed 19 points last week, but it's been in the run game, and they've allowed people to run. And, you know, Phillip Rivers was telling Roquan Smith that 28 turned the corner on him. Didn't really. Like, Phillip was sort of exaggerating. But I really do believe that if you have Ronald Jones, I wouldn't do it because I'm a Bears fan, but I would feel relatively safe with it. Ever since, you know, Goldman was one of the players who opted out this season, and we really get a glimpse of how important he was in stopping the run for Chicago. So they've done a nice job without him. And I'm not saying that they're, you know, they're not the Cowboys just giving up 300 yards a game. But if there is going to be one place to attack the Bears this week, it's going to be running the football. And you just hope that if, heaven forbid, the Bucs get near the goal line, that Brady actually hands it to Jones instead of throwing a 1 yard touchdown to Mike Evans. Let's just settle for field goals. If you want to be cool, Brady, you can just settle for field. You don't need touchdowns this week, but just settle for field goals and everything will be fine.
I would consider starting Ronald Jones this week. I mean, look, we know that Aaron Jones is going to be on a bye, so we know that. We know there are injuries at running back with Nick Chubb and Austin Eckler out. So it is a little bit thinner at the running back position this week. And I think the fact that it looks like Jones may get a bigger workload. I know they sort of like Keyshawn Vaughn. We saw him score a touchdown last week, and I know they kind of like him, but I can't imagine that he's going to get a significant portion of the opportunities back there. So I would feel okay with Ronald Jones as maybe an RB2 this week, depending on what your situation looks like. I wouldn't play him in DFS. I wouldn't take that chance. But if you're in a seasonal league, then I would feel okay with maybe having him as my second running back. With the Bears, though, you know, David Montgomery got a lot of work this past week with no Tariq Cohen. He actually had like 6 targets, which I think is a career high for him. So is his fantasy stock rising now?
A little bit. I know Matt Nagy came out and said, you know, hey, I would really like to start running the football more. And you're like, yeah, bro, you call the plays. Like, you're in charge of that. You're the guy who's like, hey, I want to start eating better. You're like, yeah, cool. You just ordered chili cheese fries. Stop doing that. But I know that Bears fans are frustrated with this. And my friend Draft Dr. Phil sends about 80 irate messages to me every game day. Like, why isn't he running? And you have to point out, like, hey, the Colts are good on defense. Like, that was the problem. And I do believe that this matchup's a little bit better. Not that the Bucs are bad on defense by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe they're going to get to running the football more. It just wasn't possible last week because the Colts, probably the best, statistically, the best defense in the league right now. So let's see what happens this week. I think that David Montgomery, like you said, the 6 targets is an impressive number as well. I wish if I do have one note for Matt Nagy, it's when it's 3rd and short, let's go with David Montgomery. I like Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't think he should be our 3rd and short guy.
I would agree with that. So I'm starting to come around on David Montgomery, I admit. So last year I was a big fan. He was just sort of okay. So then this year I went into the season sort of feeling kind of like I've been burned. And so I'm slowly starting to come around. And I think this is a week because the opportunity is there. Look, it's hard to find guys that you know are just going to dominate the snaps and the touches in the backfield. And David Montgomery is one of those guys. I don't like the fact that the Bears' offense is just not – it's not high-powered, so the touchdown upside is sort of lower. But this is kind of a volume play for me, that Montgomery's going to get most of the work. You know, the Cordarrelle Patterson at running back thing wasn't all that great last week. I think Ryan Nall played – I think you can count on one hand the number of snaps Ryan Nall played last week. So – there just doesn't seem to be any real competition for Montgomery back there. So that at least makes me feel more encouraged about him. You're right. The Bucs defense is very good. So that's, you know, that is worrisome on a Thursday night, but the opportunity, it's going to be hard to beat that. So I think that's a reason to sort of believe in David Montgomery for the short term. So we'll see. On the flip side, is Anthony Miller's stock declining? If you haven't learned the name Darnell Mooney, I think people need to start paying attention to that, right?
Yeah, you know what? They were going to Mooney on 3rd down. Like, Nick Foles really looked like he was trusting him. Like, a lot of times they kept going to Mooney, and you're like, gosh, man, they're really putting a lot of trust in him. And so Anthony Miller is somebody who I honestly just don't believe there's going to be enough volume there to trust him in the long term. He's going to still go out and he can make plays like this. Was a fantastic throw by Foles, great catch. And he's got a lot of ability. But I think with the Bears trying to move more towards being a running offense, I think they want to start putting the ball into the hands of David Montgomery and a little bit of Cordarrelle Patterson as well. And they spread it around. And Allen Robinson is still the number one receiver on that team. And they still like to go to the tight end when possible, Jimmy Graham. I know the Colts actually did take out Jimmy Graham. So there's other options. So I think that Anthony Miller is a fine player, but I don't think that he's going to be somebody that you can trust fantasy-wise. And you really probably just don't even need him on your roster anymore.
Yeah, I was surprised a week or so ago seeing how available he was in NFL.com leagues. And then I started digging a little deeper and I saw that Darnell Mooney was getting more looks and it started to make sense. And so, you know, while I was a couple weeks ago a proponent of getting Miller off the waiver wire, I'm backing away from that now just because it looks like he's starting to sort of be de-emphasized in the Bears offense. So it'll be an interesting game, though. Should be fun to watch on Thursday night. Bucks and Bears. You can see that, of course, on NFL Network and multiple other places. Check your local listings, as they like to say in the TV biz. That was Home Field Advantage presented by Pearl's Place. You know, one person's fight is never one person's fight. It takes all of us to fight cancer. Join the NFL and the American Cancer Society in the fight today by talking to your doctor or reminding a loved one about getting screened. Visit NFL.com/crucialcatch to learn more. It is time for Secure Starts, presented by Visa for Peace of Mind Online. Visa's got you covered. Time for Adam Rank's Week 5 starts and sits. Let's start at the quarterback spot. I know I expressed some concerns about the Cardinals offense earlier in the show, but you're feeling okay about Kyler Murray this week, huh?
Well, they're playing the Jets, so I think that goes without saying that we can pretty much go ahead and start him this week. The Jets have allowed 7 touchdown passes to quarterbacks this season. That's the 8th most in the NFL, so perhaps they won't have to rely on Kyler Murray so much to run the football. But when he does, he is the best in the NFL at doing that. He's had an average of 66.3 rushing yards per game this season, and he scored at least 21 fantasy points per game this season. So that's a pretty easy one. Let's get a little bit more difficult. Let's talk about Teddy Bridgewater, who is the QB21 heading into this week, but had a great week last week. Again, I'm saying the word week too much. How about Teddy Bridgewater going up against the Falcons? 26 fantasy points last week. Again, God, why am I still saying that word? Stop it, Rank. Against the Cardinals. The Falcons have allowed an average of right around 33 fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. That's the most in the NFL. So if your quarterback has been struggling, or you had Aaron Rodgers or even Matthew Stafford, whatever, go pick up Teddy Bridgewater for this week.
I like the Bridgewater pick. I said before the season, he's a streaming option in most leagues, and this is the opportunity to get him in and stream him, especially if you are missing, say, Aaron Rodgers coming up in week 5. All right, at running back, we talked about Kenyon Drake and how frustrating it is. Do you believe this, or are you just trying to speak it into existence? Because either way, I'm totally down with him, you know, having a big week this week.
Little column A, little of column B. It is. But again, I mean, the big game is going to happen. I think that a lot of people had given up on Kenyon Drake last season when he was traded from the Miami Dolphins to the 49ers. And I remember a lot of people were not starting him. The only person I know in my life, Candace Patton from The Flash, she had him in our Fantasy League One. And she's like, I'm going with Kenyon Drake. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you got to follow your gut. He had a monster game. And so I do trust him this week against the Jets. And I do like Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week as well, going up against the Las Vegas Raiders, who've given up the most fantasy points to running backs this season. We saw last week that everybody was in on Devin Singletary. So for me, it just makes sense to go back to Clyde Edwards. Just go ahead and give him an opportunity. I really do believe that this could be a game where the Chiefs kind of just wear them down through the run. And you're talking about speaking things into existence. I have to go up against Patrick Mahomes in a league this week. So I'm hoping that it's going to be a heavy dose of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I know that after that first week, I think people have been sort of disappointed by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I'm starting to think that maybe we were expecting too much of him. I don't think he's been bad. I just think that people just were expecting him to come in there and, like, you know, like it was going to be Jamal Charles sort of reincarnated in the Chiefs offense. And I think that's sort of unfair, but he's been fine. I just think that maybe our expectations were a little bit too high for him. Wide receiver. Look, I know Justin Jefferson has been a nice player the last couple of weeks, but this passing game still runs through Adam Thielen there for the Vikings, right?
Oh, certainly. And you've got to start him this week going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Again, a team that has given up a lot of production through the air. And it's funny how quickly the NFL moves, because a couple of years ago, a game between the Vikings and the Seahawks would have been a defensive battle. Should we start any of these guys? Should we be worried about any of our superstars? But now we have no hesitation. Adam has 4 receiving touchdowns on the season. That's tied for the second most in the NFL. And, of course, the Seahawks have allowed the most fantasy points per game to the wideout. So I think Adam's a good start. And Justin Jefferson is also a really good start as well. And I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb is another one of my starts this week going up against the New York Giants. He is one of 3 players in the league who's had at least 5 receptions and 50 yards in every game this season, 17 fantasy points in 2 out of his last 3. And if this was professional wrestling and the Cowboys receivers were a trio with Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup would be planning the heel turn out of jealousy that CeeDee Lamb has been so good this year that he would just whop him with a metal folding chair, become a huge heel. CeeDee Lamb would be one of the most over faces in the NFL. So I think that he's a safe play each and every week.
I am getting to the point where I'm almost giving up on Michael Gallup. He had the one big game, but beyond that, it has been Amari Cooper. It's been CeeDee Lamb. It's been Dalton Schultz. And Michael Gallup is getting really, really hard to trust now, which is sad because I thought Michael Gallup was set up for big year, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
What, and it's crazy to me too, because we talked about this coming into the season. There were 177 targets left from Jason Witten being gone and from Randall Cobb being gone. And where have they gone? And the Cowboys throw the ball a lot. It seems impossible that Michael Gallup is not more involved.
Yeah, I can't figure it out, but this has been the case through 4 weeks. I just don't know. Tight end. I feel like, you know, George Kittle, and I know people are going to look at that and say, well, of course, but I don't know. I feel like every now and then you just have to remind people to start some of these star guys and not worry about matchups and that sort of thing.
I just want to sometimes talk about my favorite players in the NFL, and George Kittle is definitely one of those guys. He's a huge wrestling mark like me. We chat on the social media. He's really nice to me, even though I picked the 49ers to go 3-13. He still gives me time, and he's cool with me. And so I think that what he did on Sunday night was one of the most impressive things that I've seen. 15 targets, 15 receptions. It's impossible to go out there and be this good. And he plays with such aggression that you can't help but love the guy. And I kind of like Hunter Henry this week. I know that I feel like Hunter Henry's been good. Like, he's a good player. But it's a lot like when you go to a sushi restaurant and you order sashimi, which is fine. But you're like, this is it? Like, I'm paying a lot of money and it's just one sliver? Like, it doesn't seem like enough. Because he's currently the tight end 16 on the season. But you see right there, at least 10 fantasy points in 3 out of 4 games. So I feel confident enough, especially in this matchup. The Saints have allowed a top 8 tight end in every game this season. So I think that Monday night you can sit there and feel comfortable with Hunter Henry. And you know what? I'm starting Justin Herbert. I replaced him with an Aaron Rodgers on a bye this week. So I'm getting spicy.
I like that. I definitely like that. Defense, this is simple, right? We're just picking on the Jets, especially now that we know Joe Flacco's quarterbacking. This seems like a pretty easy call here.
Yeah, the Cardinals are – it's pretty easy. And I think what the point – obviously, the Cardinals, duh. You're going up against the Jets. You're going up against Joe Flacco. One of the things that you need to do is start looking ahead at, like, who is playing the Jets in the future and start those teams and start those guys. And you got to start pre-planning and maybe carrying them, because last week I went out and picked up the Cardinals in a lot of spots. Now, next week they've got it's more difficult because they have one of the teams defenses that's already been picked up. So you might want to go with them. And then I also like the Kansas City Chiefs this week. No, I'm sorry. The New England Patriots. I'm sorry. I saw that video come up. I'm like, I like the Chiefs. I almost used a waiver claim on them this week, but I do like the Patriots going up against an inexperienced quarterback. They've had a lot of injuries. Cortland Sutton obviously is out. So there's an opportunity to go out there. And it's just impressive to me to watch this Patriots defense, because every, you know, in week one, I remember saying something like, you know, they've allowed only one rushing touchdown since the start of 2019. And obviously some kid on Twitter's like, oh, it's a different team now. And I'm like, okay, if there's one team in the NFL where it seems like it doesn't matter who is in the helmet, as long as they're just on that field, they're always good, it's the New England Patriots. And I was, I watched that game again, and I was extremely impressed with how well that Patriots defense plays. And they've lost so many guys over the last couple of years, and they just keep doing it over and over again. So if the Patriots are available for you, and a lot of people might have dropped them because they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs, go see if they're available and go pick them up.
Bill Belichick he's just solved football. I think there's no other way really to explain it. So there you go. That was Secure Starts presented by Visa. All right, quickly go through some of your sits at quarterback. You are looking more not for Ryan Fitzpatrick this week.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense going up against the San Francisco 49ers. And even though Bosa's out and they've lost some other players of note, they're starting to get a little bit healthy. I think Richard Sherman at some point will be back. But the 49ers have allowed the second fewest fantasy or yards per game to quarterbacks this season. And Fitzmagic, you know, it's that time of the year when, you know, the magic's starting to run out. Like it's like going to see a real magic show and being like, oh, I see the wire. And it's just time. So we're going to leave him on the bench for the next 2 weeks. We got Denver next week and Baker Mayfield against the Indianapolis Colts. And again, I want to reiterate this. I don't believe that Baker is a bad quarterback. I like Baker Mayfield. I don't think that I think he gets too much criticism, but I will say that this matchup against the Colts is very tough. They did a nice job against the Chicago Bears last week. And in fact, they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. They have not allowed, on average, to get more than double-digit fantasy points. And so I'm avoiding. I think this is an easy avoid. And I think it also trickles down to Odell Beckham Jr., who was very good, obviously, on Sunday. But now you got to kind of avoid him this week.
Running back, who are you looking at putting on the bench this week in the backfield?
I know a lot of you probably picked up Joshua Kelly or you've had him on the bench or anything like that. I'm still going to wait another week. I'm not sure that I'm going to rush him in to my lineup. I know that he really hasn't taken advantage of the opportunities. I know a lot of people were hyper on him going into that Carolina match, and he just didn't perform. And now he's put the rock on the ground in a couple of games in a couple of key spots too. That fumble, I'm not sure whose fault it was. It was him or it was Justin at the end of the first half last week against Tampa Bay, but it stands out to me. I'm going to put it on the running back. You got to secure that football. So that's the kind of thing that gets you off the field. And I'm looking at Myles Gaskin, who is a player that I advocated to pick up off the waiver wire last week, was hopeful that he was going to do better against Seattle. I know Seattle's tough against the run, so I'm not completely discouraged. But even though he has become the guy who is getting all the production for the Miami Dolphins, he still hasn't topped 15 fantasy points in a game this season. I do believe at some point it's going to happen. He's worth rostering. Don't get rid of him. I'm just not playing him this week.
Wide receiver, we talked about the Rams maybe not having a great week. Robert Woods is sort of a guy to avoid, huh?
Yeah, we've seen Cooper Kupp over the last 2 weeks out-target him 17 to 13. It's not a significant difference, but I've seen more production from Cooper Kupp. And you know what? This isn't a great matchup either for him. I mean, Washington has allowed just one top 30 wide receiver this season. Trees has scored fewer than 40 scrimmage yards or has attained rush for combined, whatever, accumulated less than 40 scrimmage yards in two of his last three games. I do know they get very creative near the goal line, but we saw Gerald Everett get a play that I thought would have been designed for Bobby here, but unfortunately it didn't go his way. They do run the jet sweeps. I mean, that's an automatic. I mean, listen, you come to LA, you get an In-N-Out burger, you go see the Hollywood sign, and you go see a jet sweep run by Bobby Trees. And I'm also going to avoid Jerry Jeudy against the New England Patriots. He's had fewer than 65 receiving yards in every game this season. The Broncos offense has not been playing very well. They've had on average 20.5 points per game. That's the fifth fewest in the NFL. They're averaging just over 300 yards per game, which is the fourth fewest in the NFL. So you really need him to be touchdown dependent. So I'm going to avoid him in this situation.
And then at the tight end spot, who are we looking at sitting on the bench this week?
Who are we looking at? It's Mike Gesicki. I think it's going to be one of them that I'm going to avoid this week. Is that who I'm supposed to lead off with? I should put – okay, good. I was hopeful.
Correct.
I was hopeful. We saw last week, you know, it's funny because Patrick Claibon and I talked about this on one of – I think it was Friday's NFL Fantasy Live where I was like, don't play Zach Ertz. And he was like, no, 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 give Zach Ertz a chance because the 49ers FPA might be a little bit skewed because the tight ends that they've played have not been great, which was a fair point. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But now we've seen them shut down Zach Ertz. So I think now we can just come out and proclaim that the 49ers are good against opposing tight ends. Did I have one or two on this one? I know I feel very, very prepared right here.
But I think there's a second one, right? Kyle Rudolph, right?
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. My computer screen has gone completely blank. But yeah, you know, Kyle Rudolph was it's tough to find these tight ends that I'm really avoiding because there are some good matchups this week. But I think that the Seahawks, for as much production as they have given up to the wide receivers, they've done okay against the tight ends. And so to me, and I feel like Kirk Cousins is going to be as efficient as possible with the football. He's going to look to Adam Thielen. He's going to look to Justin Jefferson. And of course, he's going to probably go to Dalvin Cook. So I think that Kyle Rudolph's too far down the pecking order. And I know a lot of people might look at this and say, well, you know, wait, the Seahawks give up a lot of production. And I understand that, but they have been good against tight ends. So I would avoid Kyle Rudolph if possible.
For the rest of Adam Rank Starts and Sits, you can find it online at NFL.com/start-sit. Go there and use that to help you make wise decisions when it comes to the rest of Week 5. Before we get to our wiretaps, the reminder, you should be checking out Fantasy Bites if you haven't already. It streams on Thursday, 6 p.m. You can find that in the NFL Fantasy app on NFL.com and YouTube at YouTube.com/NFL Fantasy Football. All right. You probably went out on the waiver wire, made some claims. Maybe you got a couple of guys that you were looking for. So as we wrap up the show, Rank, if you scored Dalton Schultz this week, he's playing the New York Football Giants, would you start him?
I really believe so. Again, we talked about this a moment ago. It's interesting that Michael Gallup has disappeared from this offense, but Dalton Schultz, he might not be Blake Jarwin. You know, he's not the same. He's not the same. You know, it's kind of like settling for Iron Man when you wanted Batman, but whatever, still great, still doing pretty well. So I would get him in. I honestly believe this is a good matchup. This is a good opportunity for him. I'm also curious which way the Jason Garrett revenge game works. Is it the Giants? Do the Giants care? Like, does Danny Dimes come in and be like, oh, I'm doing this for Jason, and I want to stand up for him? Or the Cowboys like, you know what? We want to show Jason that we're much better than we thought we were. I don't know. Are they mad at him? Are they missing Jason Garrett at this point? I don't know. There's a lot of things going on. I think the short answer is I'm starting Dalton Schultz, unless I have Kelce, of course, or Kittle.
I'm more stuck on Dalton Schultz being compared to Tony Stark. But I think because of the volatility at tight end and the fact that Schultz has been great, I'd have no problem plugging him into my starting lineup this week if I have him. All right, and the last one, Brandon Ayuk, who's looked pretty good his first couple of weeks for the 49ers. He's got the Dolphins. Would you consider him at, say, a flex spot this week?
Yeah, he's got that Spider-Man-like ability. I really love this player going back to his time at Arizona State, and I think that he's a fun player to watch. We saw him leap over a defender, the kind of things that we've come accustomed to seeing him do. The one thing that I have a hesitation with is that Debo plays a similar type of role. They're not the same, but like they're both players are very good and very athletic. And there's just so many limited snaps with the 49ers that there's not going to be a consistency or a volume there that makes me feel safe. To me, I look at Brandon Ayuk. He's comparable with Laviska Shenault, where they both have, like, they're both athletic and they design plays for him and they're fun to watch. Shenault really doesn't have somebody that he's competing with for those type of plays like the 49ers do with Debo. So I guess this is a way of talking myself out of Brandon, even though I really like him and I want to play him. But I know my head has to weigh in here and be like, no, 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 we love him as a player. We love the highlight reel. But perhaps, unless we're in a desperate situation, we're probably not starting them this week. As always, check out the fantasy rankings before you make any decisions with your roster.
Yeah, I think 12-team leagues, it's hard to sort of make that case for him. I think anything deeper than that, then maybe you throw him in as a flex. I love the plan they seem to have for him, but I do think, yeah, not every week he's going to get in the end zone. And if he doesn't, I think you're going to be sort of disappointed with the production you get. But down the line, I mean, I think the ceiling is high for him. I like what Kyle Shanahan has in mind. So he's a guy you should have on your roster, but maybe not a guy that you're starting this week. So there it is. That is it. Sure. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show presented by DraftKings. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, it's never too late to go back to bed. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Wear a mask. And we will see you on Friday.